الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All thanks, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty Creator, Maker, Sustainer of the Universe, our Rabb, our Khalik, our Malik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the 99 perfect attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-powerful, the majesty, the sovereign, the ruler, the one who created, who governs, who rules, unquestioned, with full authority, supreme authority, might and right, over all his creations that exist all over the known and the unknown, the visible and the invisible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's authority is governed from the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah is everywhere, always. Allah has been always, will always be always. Allah has no alpha, no omega. Allah has no start, no end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was never born. Allah will never die. Allah is all existent. Wal hayyul qayyum. The one Allah that we worship, the one Allah that we pray to, the one Allah that we turn to, the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whose sole and supreme authority, governance and sovereignty that we, the Muslimin, accept, and we proclaim La ilaha illallah, and we say Ashhadu. We bear witness, all of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only worthy of worship. Together with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed, has chosen, has selected as his most beloved, as his mahbub, as the rahmatul lil alameen, as the mercy unto the worlds, unto all his creations, as Sayyidul Anbiya, as the leader and the chief of all the prophets, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon whom we send durood and salam, Allah's choices, blessings and mercies. In mankind there are those who have accepted what I have just stated, which is the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The majority amongst mankind has rejected the risalat, the nabuwat, the prophethood, the messengership, the final prophethood and messengership, the apostleship of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a universal one, for he has come to all of mankind. There should not be any other besides Muslimin, one religion, one deen, one code of life, one ethic, one morality, one standard, one rule of governance for the whole of mankind in this entire world, and that is that all pay obedience to, obeisance to, and submit to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And together with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also promulgated that all of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that all of mankind must follow one way, one tariqah, one sirat, one path, which is sirat mustaqim, the straight path, which has been shown to us by 124,000, approximately, a multiplicity of 124,000 chosen messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You follow that path, which is the straight path that leads all of mankind unto the maker and creator, the sustainer of the universe, the Rabb of all of mankind, the Allah who holds power, wields power, who created everything in this universe, jinnkind, mankind, angelkind, heavenly bodies, earthly bodies, planets, galaxies, all that exists in all the planets, of which there are seven heavens and seven earths, and everything in between, all belongs to, is the ownership of, the property of. Allah has sole propriety rights over. Allah has decided when to create them, how to create them, and Allah rules over them all. When Allah decides, they are born and they come into existence. When Allah decides and decrees, they go out of existence. In a way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. Angels, do they die? Do they have a birth and death? They have a beginning. As far as we know, there is no end and termination for the malaikas, except in the knowledge and in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jinkind and mankind, yes, they have. They live a life and then they have a death. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that amongst all my creatures, amongst my creation, there are two species that are subject to life and death. Which are they? Jinkind and mankind. Both were given. Jinkind was created first. Jinkind occupied planet Earth for a long time, ages and ages. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent unto them also prophets for their guidance. They also had pious people amongst them. But they chose to refute and to reject. They chose rebellion and sin and disobedience, intolerance. They chose temptation. They chose sin and wrong and disbelief, shirk and kufr. As a result of which, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displaced them with mankind. And Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created, and the children of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came into existence, came into being, and planet Earth was then given as far as the khilafat, governance of this world, was given, handed over to mankind. O children of Adam, you are my khalifas, you are my vicegerents. You have been given rule over this earth and all the bodies that exist in this earth. You decide what you want to do, how you want to rule, how you want to govern. But you will govern and you will rule and you will believe and you will live and you will act in according to my commands. Commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way and the tariqah of Sayyidina wa Nabiina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man then began to, the children of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam began to rule on this earth. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for the leadership of mankind, for the direction of mankind, for the guidance of mankind, two methodologies. One was the revealed word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came out in the form of a testament through divine revelation, wahi. That was a revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in testaments and in books, the word of the chosen messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, look, Jibreel, the archangel Jibreel, the chief of the malaikas, Jibreel was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the go-between and the medium to bring down divine revelation to the chosen messengers of Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam did not come to anyone else but those whom Allah selected, Allah chose as his divine messengers, the chosen messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the agency, through the agency of Jibreel alayhi salam, they received divine revelation directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which they then passed on to man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, were the kitabs, the testaments, and the dialogue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with mankind, Jibreel alayhi salam, to the messengers of Allah and the messengers of Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam didn't come and tell to mankind at large, this is the divine revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was not his dispensation. Jibreel alayhi salam came to the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then passed it on. This is the tariqah, the system, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of governance. And of course, Jibreel alayhi salam did not go directly to anyone in mankind. He always went to the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gave them the message. Man then took this on. Remember what did I say? 124,000 messages came to me in every denomination, in every country of the world, to all the nations of the world. But each messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to a specific nation, to a specific people, to a specific tribe, to a specific area of the world, whether it was in Asia, whether it was in Europe, wherever, whether it was in Africa. These were the major continents at that time. Americas are a later discovery of mankind. But in the beginning, Asia, Europe, Asia, huge continent. Europe, huge continent. Far East extends very far. Asia extends very far. Africa is a very ancient continent. In fact, they say one of the first continents that was the most occupied by human habitation was Africa. I say, no, it was Asia. Anyway, whether it is Africa or whether it is Asia does not matter. We know Asia carries almost two-thirds of the human population of the world and has always been occupied by almost two-thirds of the human population of the world. Most of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to Asia, to the Asian region, to the Asian peoples. Very significant. And many thousands of prophets came to Africa. Is it not strange, therefore, that among the nation of the world, for millions of years, came guidance through two ways. One through direct wahi, through the form of Allah's kitabs, Allah's books, Allah's testaments, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, through the messenger, thousands of messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet mankind strayed, disobeyed, were rebellious, were rejectionists, rejected the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Risalat of the particular Nabis and Rasuls, Anbiyas and Rasuls. Is it not strange that Shirk was more successful than Tawheed? That sin and wrong was more successful? A larger majority of the human population rejected the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejected the worship of one Allah. They accepted shirk, kufr, nifaq, rebellion, sin, wrongdoing, lies, deceit, untruth, evil, dirt, sin, all the things that were prohibited or made haram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, declared as being disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rebellion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They accepted falsehood, wrongdoing, evil, sin, all the time, throughout. Oh, you don't have to look to the past. Don't even worry to dig up ancient history. Look at present. You say, we say, mankind has advanced. Science, technology has advanced. Human knowledge has reached a peak. What peak has human science, technology and knowledge reached? What peak has it reached? When there is more shirk in the world, more kufr in the world, more sin in the world, more haram in the world, more murders in the world, more shamelessness in the world, more evil in the world, more wrongdoing in the world, more murders and rapes in the world, more killings in the world, more war in the world, more bloodshed in the world, more violence in the world. Tell me, what has man learned? Can we then say in this day and age, man is more learned, man is better educated, man is... No. No, we haven't. Where is the proof? Is there more shirk in the world? Of course. Is there more kufr in the world? Of course. Is there more masajid, the houses of Allah in the world? No. Is there more temples and churches in the world and synagogues in the world? Yes. If we take survey of the human population of this world, who is in the majority? Mushrikeen, kafirin, mulhideen? Or the Muslimin, the people of Tawheed, the people of Risalat, the people of piety, people of virtue, people of goodness, people of cleanliness? Are they in the majority? No, they're in the minority. Who is being trampled upon? The true believers. In the history of human civilization, Muslimin, true believers, have always suffered, have always experienced hardship from the hands of the mushrikeen and kafirin. Is it not strange? Think about it, that the true believers, Think about the time just before Islam, the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Christian people and the Jewish people, just predating, preceding Islam. What kind of an era was that? Here comes a powerful Nabi and Rasul preceded. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was preceded by a powerful messenger of Allah. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, you know how powerful he was. Kalimullah, he was given such, he became such a position, such a status, that he could talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the will and qudrat of Allah. You can talk to me, O Musa. And Musa conversed, spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times the Quran is reported that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam spoke directly without intermediary, without Jibreel alayhi salam? He did not speak to Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam then spoke to Allah, and Allah spoke to Jibreel, and Jibreel then spoke to Nabi Musa. No. Nabi Musa alayhi salam spoke directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No intervention, no interference, no intermediary. Subhanallah. Can you imagine? How did his people react? Fir'aun was a big power of the time. Fir'aun was a bush of that time. He ruled over the known world at the time. There were other smaller leaders and chiefs at the time. But who was the main? President Fir'aun. He ruled over everything. He had power over everything. What happened? Was kufr and shirk more? Was rebellion and sin more? Of course. There was more wrong and falsehood and disbelief and idolatry than true belief. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, such a powerful Nabi and Rasul, small band of followers, a small amount of people that followed him. Come to Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. What a wonderful, what a loving, what a kind, what a prophet of miracles. Subhanallah. Time of miracles. Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, lot of miracles also. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, you know, had been blessed with wonderful miracles. If he put his arm under his shoulders, and how shining, how brilliant, brighter than the sun. His hand, his palms became brighter than the sun. You know that. You know about his asa, the stick with which Nabi Musa alayhi salam walked around, with which he said, I remove the leaves, I do this, I walk with it, I remove anything that is in the way, and so on. Who? Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the miracle of the stick. What do the magicians do in the court of Fir'aun? They brag, they boast. What did they do? To impress the people, to impress their own. They throw down their little sticks and so on. They throw it down and it turns into, this is the eye. Behold, the eye. What is it? An illusion. Illusion, I, double L-U-S-I-O-N. An illusion is, a lie is created where people see, and Fir'aun sees, those sticks that they threw down turn into little snakes. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Musa, take your asa, take your walking stick, O Musa, O my beloved Musa. Musa alayhi salam, fearful, but Allah's command, he has to obey. Take your, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Nabi Musa alayhi salam is not aware. He doesn't even have any idea at all what's going to happen. O my Musa, take your walking stick and throw it on the ground. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as instructed, as commanded by Allah, takes his walking stick and he throws it on the ground, and he himself is not aware what's going to happen. Oh no, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unbeknown to man, unless he's pre-informed. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was not aware. All he does is, I must obey my Allah. I don't have to know. O Muslimin, listen carefully to what I'm saying. We don't have to know about the workings of Allah. We want explanations for everything. We want proofs for everything. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did not ask for proof. Allah said, take your walking stick and throw it down. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was salam, what does he do? Obedience to Allah. This is what obedience. When Allah commands, we don't have to know. Oh, we don't have to ask, why must we make salah? Why must we make tilawat of the Quran? Why must we give zakat? Why must we fast in the month of Ramadan? Why must we go for Hajj Baytullah? Why must we follow the Sunnah? It is Allah's command. So Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was salam is instructed, commanded by Allah, O Musa, take your walking stick and throw it down. The magic, the wizard of the magicians, of the wizards, those things are crawling on the floor of the palace. The snakes, the sticks that turn into snakes are crawling about. People can actually see them. Have you seen the magic of a magician? It's eye bluff. But anyway, it's an illusion. It only appears so to the eye. And they are crawling about, and people, the shouts of amazement. People are wonderstruck, thunderstruck by the appearance of so many snakes. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Musa does not question the command of Allah. He says, oh my Allah, here it is. And he throws down his walking stick. And what happens? You know what happens? Subhanallah. It also turns into a big snake. What does it do? That snake moves about and swallows all the smaller ones, all the wizards, all the magicians, all the sorcerers. Everything is swallowed. One snake, the snake of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, he sticks him and he swallows up, gobbles up all those little snakes. Everything consumed. The magicians notice this magic. What do they do? Allahu Akbar. In the Quran, the story is told. They fall into sijda. They say, Rabbi Musa, O Musa, your Rabb, your Khalik, your Malik, your Master, your Owner, your Maker is more powerful than ours. We see it here. Your magic is more powerful than our magic. And O Musa, we know you are not a magician. Oh, they knew Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam very well. They were very clever people, very wise people. They say, O Musa, this is not you. O Musa, this is not you that has done this. This is not sorcery, this is not magic, this is not an illusion. This what we are seeing here is the truth. O Musa, your maker is more powerful than ours. We bluff, we lie, we commit an illusion. But your Allah, the one who commanded you to throw down your walking stick, is more powerful than ours. We know it. We admit it. And every one of those magicians accepted Rabbi Musa, the Lord and the Maker and the Creator and the Sustainer of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu. That is obedience, Muslimin. Do you see what is obedience to the command of Allah? This is how we are elevated and spiritually rise in human understanding, the faculty of reason and the faculty of thought. You know what this is? You know what we are talking? You know what I'm talking about now? When Allah calls us to belief in a certain matter, which was revealed to Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we Muslims don't question. Oh, we verify. Is this the qawl? Is this the saying of Muhammadur Rasulullah? Is this the belief of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And once that is established, we say, amanna wa saddaqna. Aslamna. I accept, I submit, I declare peace. So Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, and you know those who disbelieve, what happened to them. But let me tell you, the majority disbelieved. They did not accept. Even the magicians accepted, as a result of which, what happened to them? You know what happened to those magicians? Fir'aun pronounced. You see, it was a declaration against his power, against his authority, He was Lord of the people. How can these magicians disobey him? I command you, you obey me. I'm your Lord. I'm your provider. I'm your master. I am your owner. Why have you left me for the Rabb of Musa? You can't leave me. If you leave me, I will punish you. What did they do? They said, you can do what you want to do. We know now that the Rabb of Nabi Musa, the Rabb of Musa, Ibn Musa is a prophet of the messenger of Allah. We know he is the most powerful. We have accepted him. We are not going to refuse. Because of the wisdom of these people, they were highly educated, very, very wise. And they said, once we have accepted the Rabb of Musa, the Allah of Musa, the maker of Musa, the creator of Musa, we have seen the truth. The truth went into them, and when the haq went into them, they accepted. And what happened? You know what happened. They were crucified. Oh, they were put on the stake and they were crucified. Right hand, left leg. Left hand, right leg. Chopped off. They were crucified. They were hung up. They were all killed in the most brutal fashion. Rather death they accepted. O Muslimin, what about us? Are we prepared to sacrifice ourselves for the haq and the truth in the same way? Like the wizard, one moment they were mushrikeen, the one moment they were disbelievers. Who? These magicians in the court of Fir'aun. And the next moment when they saw the haq and the truth, what did they become? In total submission to the Allah, the creator, the Rabb of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they never turned their back, they died. They sacrificed themselves for the haq and the true Muslimin. What kind of sacrifice are we praying? You know what kind of sacrifice we are prepared to make? A reserved sacrifice. We have our pride, we have our selfishness, covered with greed. The pudding, you know what is the pudding in our life? The cream in our life? It is greed. And because of greed, we are not prepared to make the... None of us is prepared, or rather, let me correct my... Very few of us are prepared to die for our Allah and our Rasul. Very few of us are prepared to die. Push comes to shove, we will back off. Who will want to be crucified? Allahu Akbar. Anyway, the point I'm coming to is that in the majority of instances, mankind, the majority, has refused the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has refused the Risalat of their particular Nabi and Rasul, and they have also refused the kind of belief in the Akhirah that we are called upon. Mankind, remember, Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat has never changed from the time of the father of mankind. The father of mankind, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, called mankind, invited mankind to the same what was called upon by every Nabi and Rasul, to the same Allah, the same Risalat and the same Akhirat, which Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Khatibul Nabiyin Sayyidul Mursaleen Rahmatul Lilami Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called mankind upon. The Allah that Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called mankind to worship is the same Allah that his father Adam alayhi salam called upon, and the Risalat that he called upon is the same Risalat that Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. You believe I am the messenger of Allah in each generation, in each time, in each century, in each age. The Rasul that was appointed, chosen by Allah for the time, called upon who? His particular nation and group in his area, in his country, to believe what? In one Allah, in his Risalat, only Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah invited entire mankind to believe in his Risalat, and he said, this is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But every Nabi and Rasul called mankind to the belief in the Akhirah, in the hereafter. Our subject here on these Saturdays, it is now the month of Jamadil Ula, of the year 1428 after the Hijrah. According to Gregorian calendar, it is the year 2007. We have commenced the second day of June. 2007. On Saturday evenings we meet here. We meet before Salatul Maghrib, we make Zikrullah, and then we perform in Jama'ah Salatul Maghrib, and then what do we do? And then we discuss life after death, which is a part of Akhirah. We saying that the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded Muslimin, of all time, from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wa salam to Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believe that death is not termination. Death is not extermination. It is but a passage. It is but a journey from the dunya into the akhirah. Death is but a bridge. Death is a bridge which takes you from one life into another life. From a negative life to a positive life. Not from a positive life to a negative life. No. From a negative, the dunya is negative life. The akhirah is positive life. In dunya we can sin, we can do wrong. In akhirah you cannot do sin, you cannot do wrong. In dunya you have a will. In akhirah you have no will. The only will that exists in akhirah is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man, you have no will. Once you have died, you deceased, you finished. Then you have no more say over life. You cannot decide what you want to do any longer. You can only decide to do what pleases Allah, what is commanded by Allah. Your life ends here, yes. But then you go into what? You go into another life, another dimension, another sphere in which you have no say. Subhanallah, no say. In dunya you have say, and because you have say, you are only a creature, a creation, a makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for you to have a say, yeah, in the dunya is not a positive measure. It is a negative one. Because how good is your decision? How good is the will that you have in the dunya? Your will is only good when your will is subject to the will of Allah. When you surrender yourself to Allah, when you are submitted to the commandments of Allah, then your will is subject and submissive. Then it is positive. But if you direct yourself and guide yourself and decide for yourself and indicate the will that you have through your personal choice and freedom, it is negative. So the dunya is a negative abode. Also furthermore, why is it a negative abode? Because when you decide on your own, then you decide you are king. You decide you are ruler. You decide you are master. A master doesn't want a higher master. An owner doesn't want a higher owner. You become filled in the dunya with pride, and maybe the pride leads to arrogance. What we call baska. You want to be the boss. You want to be the boss. What happens then? Is that positive or is it negative? It is of course negative, because that is what is going to destroy you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a grain of pride will lead you to the fire. It will lead you to the great fall. What was it that shaitan had that led to the curse and the fall of shaitan? Pride. Allah, I am made of fire. Fire is more powerful than earth. Adam is made of earth. Oh Allah, do you expect me, who is made of a more powerful element, to bow down to one who is made of a more common element? How can you expect me, oh my Allah? How, my Allah, Rabbi, Shaitan addressed Allah as Rabbi, oh my Rabb, how can you expect me to bow to this Adam made of earth, common earth, when I am made of such a proud element, such as powerful element, such as fire? Do you, my Allah, expect me that I must prostrate to Adam? No, I cannot prostrate to Adam. Adam is inferior. I am superior. I can burn Adam. I can burn and destroy Adam, yes. Put a man into fire, he'll burn to death. So, yes, fire is more powerful than earth. So, Shaitan used what? He used his logic and he used his rationality and he used his reason, he used his judgment to question the authority and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That story portrays what a human being is and what a human being can become. So when a man becomes, a human being becomes self-conscious and makes self-statements in this dunya, and he wants to direct himself, why must I have and believe in Allah? What is this Quran? What is this command? Every time I keep hearing, I must submit, I must submit 5 times a day, early in the morning, it comes such a nice, winter, we want to sleep in our warm beds, I must get up and make fajr salah. Some of them say, I must get up and make tahajjud salah. Tahajjud salah, zikrullah, tilawat of the Quran, make du'as before fajr. You think I'm crazy? Who tells that? That man, which man? The man who thinks he owns the earth. The man who is governed by his greed. The man who is governed by his selfish reason. The man who is governed by his select thoughts. The man who is governed by his liberal ways. The man who is governed by the freedom of his expression, by the freedom of his thought, by the freedom of his life and his ways. Who is there? Where is Allah? Muslims, you're talking about, where is Allah? If I do not make my salah, who is going to ruin me or prison me or torture me or torment me? Where is the fire you Muslims talk about? Where is the fire? I'm not going to burn in the fire. If I give zakat or don't give zakat, it's my choice. Oh man, the dunya is negative. And yes, my reason I'm saying this, the majority in mankind throughout time, of every nation and every tribe, of every clime and every country and every continent, the majority has chosen to disobey Allah. And they have chosen shirk above tawheed. They've chosen their own selves above risalat. And they have chosen to reject any form of belief in an akhirat in which there is going to be what? A life in the qabr? What? A resurrection? What? Accountability on the day of qiyamah. All three have been rejected. They said, you talk about you Nabis, you Rasuls, you Anbiyas, you Prophets, you Messengers of Allah talk about a life in the grave. After I have died, what kind of life can there be in a grave? We do not believe that there's any form of life in the grave. And you talk about a resurrection, we will be raised again, life will be put back into us. Oh no, unacceptable, unbelievable, too wondrous is what you say, too marvelous, too beyond belief, beyond this human thought, beyond human reason, beyond human judgment, beyond the parameters of belief. Therefore, we reject it outright. And they began to mock, and they began to laugh, and they began to jest, and they began to joke about this matter of resurrection, or that there is a life in the qabr, or that the man will ever be brought back to life again and raised again. And then the Anbiyas and the Rasul told them, no, it doesn't end there. When you are resurrected, after you are resurrected, the angels will take you into a field of judgment where all of men kind will be gathered. And so man sat back and said, from the first man, Adam, our father, Hawa, our mother, to the last living being on this earth, billions, trillions, what kind of place will be? Earth cannot occupy all of humanity. The only planet which where there are human beings living is earth. in the other planets? We don't know. We only know human beings. Now, human beings and the billions and the trillions that occupied Earth from the beginning of time, where will they stand, all of them? On the day of judgment, Yom Al-Qiyamah, whole of humanity, all of mankind, and you know what else? Jinns are more than human beings. And all of jinnkind, and all of the angels, as many as Allah desires, Allah only knows how many, but and all the angels, because they will be the guardians, they will be the guards. Allah's guards are the angels, Allah's servants, the malaikas will all of humanity. Listen to this. All human beings, all angels, all jinns, what an enormous amount, infinity. And on top of it, you know what else this Quran tells us? Allah tells us, our Rasul tells us, all the other creatures of the universe, all the animals. Which animals? No, not the animals not the animals of now. All from the beginning of, from the first lion to the last lion, from the first elephant to the last elephant, from the first ant to the last ant, from the first locust to the last locust, from the first tiger to the last tiger, etc. All will be there. Allahu Akbar. All the animals and all the plants. Subhanallah. And what else? Oh yes. All the heavenly bodies, the seven heavens and the seven earths will be there, all gathered and assembled in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this possible? Listen to this. Mankind said, no, come on. We cannot accept that. That's not feasible, not even probable, impossible. Allahu Akbar. So man said, no, we are not prepared to accept. Who? The majority in mankind. Only a small band said, my Allah, our Allah is so powerful. Nothing for Allah. It is easy for Allah. Reason, how did they know that? Because Allah revealed it through the mouth of His messengers that these things are easy. If Allah created all this, so what is impossible? So what is so ridiculous for Allah? If everything that has existed came with the command of kun, and it became fayakun, be and it became, then what is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So what did the true believer do? The true submitter do? He said, yes Allah, if that is how it's going to be, that's how it's going to be. It is true, it will happen that way. Everything will be there that Allah has ever created on the day of reckoning, and man will rise from his grave and he will go there, and thereafter Allah's judgment will take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nature will be the first to be removed by the hukum and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the plants and the animals and all. Yes, for the animals there's going to be accountability also. Animals will also be Christian. Any animal, the animals who have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be questioned and judged on that day. Only thing we know is our Rasul has taught us that animals and plants, they will be given whatever hukum and decree Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Allah will meet it out to them. Those animals that were disobedient to the natural laws that Allah has placed among them, they will be, those who were obedient will be rewarded, those who were rebellious, who sinned and did wrong and disobeyed the natural laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be served with their punishment by Allah. After which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah's hukum, all that will be made extinct. The only one that will remain is man and jinn. And then their questioning starts. After the cleansing of all the others, man and jinn will then be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Rasul, people ask them, oh our Rasul, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also ask this. Are you saying that such a day will come about when all of mankind will be gathered and this kind of questioning, will take place, and we will be held accountable for everything that we did in the dunya, for every belief we held, and every action that we did. Allah will know all this. What about when we were in the darkness of the night, and what we did without anybody, any human being seeing what we had done? And tell us these thoughts, secret thoughts that we have in our heart, which nobody knows. Allah knows that also. The secret thoughts, our secrets, that which is in the mind and the heart, hidden away from the whole, not even our mother, not even our father, not even our friend, not even our children know those secrets. Will Allah know them? O Rasulullah? Will Allah know that also? Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid, in several places in the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know your every thought. I know your every secret. Allah says openly, I know your every secret. I know your every thought. Nothing passes me. I am the watcher over you. I am watchful over you. Your every action, every thought, every deed, everything you think about is recorded. I made you. I created you. I know what goes on with you. So be careful. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. Seek the mercy of Allah. Allahu Akbar. I am saying to you, these were the grounds that the majority in mankind rejected, and they made a laughing stock. They laughed at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, this is my belief, this is how I believe, this is the commandment of Allah, a day of reckoning will come and you will be held accountable. Then they said, are you saying that first of all life will come back after we have died, after we have turned into dust and bones? Are we going to be remade? Are we going to be reformed? Are we going to be revived? Are we going to be raised? Is it possible after our death? What are you talking about? With mischief, with grins of mischief and laughter and mockery, they jested and they laughed amongst themselves. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear to them, and verses of the Quran Majid were revealed to him, and these verses were recited to them. Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala and Majmain accepted every word of the Quran unquestioningly. O Muslimin, the Sahabas are an example for us. They never questioned any single letter, word, meaning of the Quran Majid. They accepted it. If so it is so, we believe, and so we will do, and so we will obey your every word, O our Rasul, your every teaching, O our Rasul, your every practice, O our Rasul. What an example for Muslimin. Now we come into our stage and age. What did I say earlier? The year, according to Gregorian, 2007. Thousands of years have passed. Not only 2,000, thousands of years. 21st century. 1428 of the Islamic era. 15 centuries have passed. But we know, I mean, Islam only started. The last religion started now after the Hijrah. But before that, many ages have passed. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam came and taught the same teachings, and his people, the Bani Israel, laughed at him and they mocked him. They mocked him. What did they do? The era just before Islam. What did they do? They laughed, they mocked. But man had come a long way. Man should have learned many lessons at the era and the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. They, the Bani Israel at that time, openly proclaimed, we are the most learned, we are the highest educated, we are the most intellectuals of people. What do we need a Rasul? What do we need a Nabi? What do we need a guide for? We don't need anybody to guide us. We don't need you, O Isa alayhi salam. O Jesus, we don't need you. We don't need you. We don't need a book of revelation, the Torah. We don't need a book of revelation, the Injil. We can guide ourselves. What are you coming here for with this particular book? And you are saying that this is the Kitab of Allah, the Injil. We don't need this. We don't need the Injil at all. We don't need guidance. We can guide ourselves. And Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, with the power and the might that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, what a struggle he had. He is the struggle prophet. How he tried to convince his people. And Allah gave him the ability. Yes, in the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, the people had turned entire circle against the teachings of the of Allah subhanahu, against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full circle. And they, his people rejected. Oh yes, the highest percentage of people rejected, more than 90% of his people rejected his teachings, rejected his beliefs, rejected his preaching. And what happened? You know what happened? They got back. They said, whatever Isa is saying is unacceptable to us. Alayhi salatu wassalam. We have to plot and we have to plan and we have to scheme. We need now. Now we have reached a stage. After so many prophets, every prophet comes and the same message. La ilaha illallah. And there is a prophet. Isa Ruhullah, Musa Kalimullah, Isa Ruhul. Every prophet comes and this is what they preach to us. We're not prepared to accept it anymore. Oh, our people, let's come together. And the Jewish clans came together and they plotted and they planned and they said, we need to have this man killed. We need to kill this man. We don't want any more prophets. We must. And you know why they planned and plotted to kill him? Because they knew that no matter what they do, there is a final messenger coming. Nabi Musa, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam had already prophesied and told them that a final messenger of Allah is coming and he will be Ahmad, he will be Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh yes, they knew. They knew that a final messenger, they knew also no matter what they do. But they thought and they plotted and they planned that somehow such a Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam must never appear. Oh, this was the whole scheme. So they plotted the assassination, the hanging, and of course the crucifixion of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. You know the story. I'm not going to go. But what I'm saying, the point I'm coming, up to the period before Islam, man had moved totally away from Tawheed, Risalat, and Akhirat. And man had gathered steam to such an extent, grown so arrogant, so proud, so rebellious, so disobedient, so full of evil and sin, that what had they decided? They decided that the truth of Tawheed, Risalat, and Akhirat is no longer wanted by man. That only darkness and evil and kufr and shirk must prevail in the whole world. That is the design. Which was mooted by who? The Bani Israel, whom we call today the Yahud, the Nasara. What was the plan mooted? The Israelite, the people, the Bani Israel mooted a plan for the end of time, that as long as we exist in the dunya, we will see to it that no word of Musa, Isa, or the prophet that is coming, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, must ever be accepted by man. Do you see what's happening in the dunya at the moment? Do you see who's at the helm of politics, of social life, of economics? When was that plan mooted? In the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And that plan is now being, and that scheme and that plot is now being carried out throughout the world. It's an ancient plan. It is a plan that was laid a long time ago, several thousand years ago. It was mooted and planned by the Bani Israel, those who rejected Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi muslimin. I've given you this whole prologue now to our lesson on life after death and to the subject of resurrection we are doing now. What is the reason? Yes, the reason I'm giving you this is now we are the Ummah of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallam. We have a huge responsibility, a huge duty on our shoulders, which is do not give in, do not submit to the lies, to the treachery, to the schemes, to the plots, to the villainy of the kafirin and the mushrikeen and the mulhideen, the disbelievers of the world. Be very wary, be very careful. A plan that has been laid for thousands of years, do not fall foul of that plan. Do not be trapped by that plan. Remember, and I remind you very, very clearly, submit to Allah. Believe in the kalima la ilaha illallah and be obedient to and submit to and follow the practices, teachings of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu and believe absolutely in Akhirah. If you submit and you give in and you sell your soul to the kafirin, mushrikeen, munafiqeen and mulhideen, to the non-believing peoples of the world, it is very tempting. What they have to offer is very, very tempting. Oh, wealth will come to you. Luxury will come to you. Comfort will come to you. Pleasure will come to you. Muslimin, pleasure and comfort and luxury is not for us. I know it is very hard for you to swallow this. Muslimin, you know we are going to die. You know that death is inevitable. Number two, you know Allah has preordained in our taqdeer whatever we are fit to gain, to possess and to have. Whatever is written for us, we cannot change. We cannot get anything more than whatever has been ordained for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we must work, but it is set what we're going to earn. Yes, we must purchase and we must buy, but Allah has preset what we are ever going to own in our lifetime. What property we are going to own, what wealth we are going to have, all that, how much happiness we will have, how much good health we will have, ups and downs we will have, everything is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We call that taqdeer. That is our destination. Accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Find peace and comfort in your lives. And then believe in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? Doesn't mean you must just believe in one Allah. No, you must follow and believe and obey the commandments of that one Allah, that you believe in one Allah absolutely, and follow, obey, submit to what? Obey what? The teachings, the practices, the instructions of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu. We call it the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muslimin, these lessons we do on Sunday. What is on Saturday? What is it on Saturday evenings? These lessons. What is it about? It is that there is a life to which we are going after our deaths. And that's a very real life. Mark my words. And I follow the precept, the sayings, teachings of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is that? Oh, there is a life after death. Believe you me, you are put into that qabr, you come alive. You cannot escape, you cannot go anywhere from there. Oh, but you will be. Munkar and Nakir are your first visitors that will come there. Your actions will surround you either with nur, with lights and comfort. They will bring into your grave nur and light, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extend your qabr, expand your qabr. Or, if nur doesn't come into your qabr, an expansion doesn't come into your qabr, and it is not filled with nur and light and comfort and peace, what happens then? Oh, you will suffer the pangs of agony and torture and darkness and loneliness. You will be bitten by scorpions and snakes, and the cover will close in on you, and you will suffer from excruciating agony and pain as the ribs crash into one another. Do you want that kind of agony? No. So Muslimin, prepare. Every word I am saying is haqq and it is truth. Though there is a very real life in the qabr. Do you want peace and calm and nur and light, or you want to suffer from the extreme agony and anguish, suffering and hardship, torture and torment of the Qabr. Which one do you want? You decide. And then there will be a day when the trumpet will blow, and all of mankind, each one of us, will be raised and brought to life and resurrected in the Qabr. That is the decision of Allah. And when that takes place, then we will all be led to the mahshar, the field of judgment, and all of mankind will be gathered there for accountability, and the reckoning will commence. And then Allah will add, judge and decree who goes to Jannah and who goes to Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. Muslimin, prepare for this. We cannot escape it. Will never. No single human is ever going to escape that. What has man, therefore, in summarizing, man has prepared throughout time, man has preferred, chosen disbelief instead of belief. He has chosen shirk, idolatry, instead of unity of Allah, the oneness of Allah, the supremacy and all power, omnipotence, omniscience and omnipresence of Allah. What has man preferred? Man has preferred shirk and kufr. Man throughout time has preferred evil. He has chosen evil to goodness, piety, virtuosity. Man has chosen, preferred to choose the prohibited instead of the permitted. He has chosen darkness over nur and light. Man has chosen lies and deceit instead of truth and veracity. Man has prepared dirt and filth to cleanliness and purity. Man has chosen impurity instead of purity. And so the story goes on. This has been the story of mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded man, and man has disobeyed. And Allah is our creator and maker. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's our Nabi and Rasul, so we talk of him. He has advised us to follow the route of guidance and Sirat al-Mustaqim. What have we done? We have chosen the path which leads us astray. Muslimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لا يعلم من في السماوات والأرض الغيب إلا الله وما يشعرون أيانا يبعثون بل ادارك علمهم في الآخرة بل هم في شك منها بل هم منها عمون صدق الله العظيم. O my messenger, O my Rasul, O my Prophet, say to the disbelieving people, say to the disbelievers, none in the heavens and the earth has knowledge of the unseen beside Allah. They do not even know when they will be resurrected. In fact, they do not even have knowledge of the hereafter. Such is the limitation of man. Actually, they are in doubt about the hereafter. They are blind to the hereafter. This is the statement of Allah. This is what you are, O man. Mankind at large. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this ayat of the Quran Majid, which is in Surah the Ant, Surah Namal, 27th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 65 and 66, Allah is advising us, Allah is commanding us, Allah is ordering us. O Muslim, be careful. Be careful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called upon the mushrikeen and kafirin of Makkah Mukarramah and later Madinah Munawwara and the whole world at large. And Allah said to him, say, O my Prophet, say unto mankind, declare unto mankind, proclaim unto mankind, say to the disbelievers, none in the heavens and the earth has knowledge of the unseen beside Allah. What do you know? You laugh. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that there will be a resurrection, there will be a qiyamah, there will be a life after death, people laughed, people rejected because it did not make sense to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you, O man, have you seen what is in that qabr? Have you seen what happens after death? Have you been there? You say there's going to be no resurrection, there's going to be no ba's, there is no life after death. Have you been there? Have you died and seen what happens after death to be able to speak? Do you know what is there, what is invisible to it, the unseen? What knowledge do you have of the unseen? Allah is asking us to use your reason. You have no knowledge of the unseen. None in the heavens and none in earth has any knowledge of the unseen beside Allah. Qul, declare, لا يعلم من في السماوات والأرض الغيب إلا الله. Only Allah has knowledge of the unseen. What do you know what goes on in heavens? What do you know what goes on in earth? Who in mankind knows what if? Man is still, after all these thousands of years or millions of years, man doesn't know what's happening above him. He doesn't know what's going on. He's still trying to discover what is happening in Mars, what is happening in Jupiter, what is happening in... Is there life or no life in the other planets of the world? And by the time he goes to Pluto, the furthest planet, he discovers that hundreds of other planets beyond. What does he know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh man, you know nothing. You do not, you have no idea what is in this universe. Oh man, you have no knowledge of what is in this creation. Your knowledge is limited, oh man. You know nothing of the secrets that are beyond this world. Oh Allah, you do not even know what is in the world. You do not know what is behind your head even. What are you talking about? When you refute and reject what Allah says, what Allah inspired, what is in this Quran, you refute, you reject, based on what? Your knowledge of the mysteries? What knowledge do you have of mysteries? Allah ya'lamu. You do not know, says Allah, what is in the heavens and this earth. Ghaiba illallah. Wa ma yash'uruna ayyana yub'asun. You do not even know when we are going to resurrect you. Do you know? You don't know. Can you put a time? Man is supposed to know everything. Can you put a time? How many years after you have died, Allah is going to raise you again. Allah is going to put your life. All Allah says is, the trumpet will blow. And when the trumpet blows, all of human beings, all of mankind will rise from the grave. Allah will put life back into them and they will stand up from their grave. The angels will come, those who will try and hide. There will be many millions amongst mankind who will be shocked. Have I come awake? What is possible? It's impossible. I never believed. I laughed when I was told that resurrection is going to take place. Now all of a sudden, so they will try and hide. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, and the angels will whip them and flog them. Get out of that grave. There's no place for you to hide. No place to hide. Get out of here. They will flog and whip. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that some of them will be dragged by their toes, by their feet. They will be dragged with their noses on the ground. They will be scuffling and trying and clinging to the ground to hide away. They will be dragged to the field of judgment where reckoning is going to take place. They will be pulled and whipped. Oh yes, there is no escape. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not even know when they will be resurrected. You know nothing of the mysteries and secrets of the universe. You know nothing when, you have no idea when Qiyamah, you do not even know when you're going to die. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they do not even have knowledge of the hereafter. In other words, بَلِدَّارَكَ عِلْمُهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. You have no knowledge when akhira is going to come about. بَلْهُمْ فِي شَكِّمْ مِنْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh man, you are in doubt about the hereafter. You know your case, oh man? You do not even know. You do not know how to believe in the hereafter. You do not want to believe in the hereafter. You want to go on with your nonsense in the world, with your mischief in the world, with your sinful ways in the world, with your rebellion in your world, with the freedom in the world, with pleasure of sin in the world, doing wrong things, disobeying Allah, disobeying the Messenger of Allah. You want to live a free and liberal life in the world. You want to live a life of passivity and sinfulness, you think you will get away? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْهُمْ فِي شَكِّمْ مِنْهَا. Most of the people are in doubt whether there's going to be a hereafter. Is there going to be an akhirah? They do not know, so they live in doubt about the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then pronounced very beautifully, Balhum minha amun. Men, you are blind to the truth and the reality. You are like blind people. Oh, you are not blind when you obey Allah and the Rasul of Allah. You are blind when you do not obey Allah and the Rasul of Allah. The non-believers of the past and the non-believing peoples of the present do not believe in taqdeer, in predestination, do not believe in the ba's ba'd al-maut, in the resurrection, or in the akhirah, in the hereafter. There exists no unseen for them. As far as man is concerned, you know what they say? They say, we must have proof of everything we believe. If you say there is life after death, show it to us. Open the cover and show that man is sitting there. Open the cover and show us that woman is sitting there and she's alive. Prove to us there's going to be a resurrection. Prove to us that the dead can be brought back to life. The same people believe that Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam brought the dead to life. That is a miracle, that is believable. But they do not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring the dead to life. Isa, who's a messenger of Allah, a prophet of Allah, can bring the dead to life. That the Christians are prepared to accept. That many other people are prepared to accept. The Hindus are prepared to accept that there is a life after death. That people are, they are prepared to accept. In reincarnation, that they are prepared to accept. But that there will be question, akhirah, and there will be a day when mankind, one day, one moment when all of mankind will be resurrected? No. Reincarnation is acceptable. But what kind of reincarnation? Reincarnation over and repetitious reincarnation, where from one form to another form to another form in stages. Now, we Muslims do not accept reincarnation. We say there will be after death a life there in the qabr. A moment in time by the distance of the trumpet will blow and all of mankind will rise from their graves and they will come to life. Thereafter, the reckoning in the field of judgment, which we call mahshar, that is our belief. O Muslimin, be very, very careful when it comes to the life after death and to belief in the akhirah. Be aware, it can cost you your life. Such is the course limitation. Men, in the past, as far as mankind is concerned, there exists no unseen for them. They want proof, concrete evidence, substantial evidence, according to their logic for everything they believe in. Their belief is limited to the visible, the material, and the tangible. Such is the coarse limitation of their mind. Their hearts are totally blind to the reality of belief in Tawheed, Risalat, the Ba'ath, Qiyamah, and Akhirah. There is total extinction of life upon death as far as the majority in mankind are concerned. Dead, khalas, finish. That's the end. Life is finite. How can you say that there is continuity? Life ends with death. Birth, death, no more. Majority in mankind, that is their belief. Muslim, you are the one that says, no, no, every action, every belief, every deed I've done in this world, I will be questioned about. Angels keep record. That is our belief. There is total extinction for the majority in mankind. There is total extinction of life upon death. And therefore, no accountability for majority in mankind in a life after death which is to come. They do speculate about a life to come, yes, but they always end by rejecting and denying such a possibility. If reminded that their scriptures and their prophets guided them to believe in the above, then their general reply is that this is based on postulations and presumptions of their elders and easily dismissible. They are quite adamant that resurrection, as in Islam, is unacceptable to any clear-headed, clear-thinking human being. They say no. What you Muslims say, unacceptable. That the way I've laid it out now to you, they say, no, it's impossible, it cannot be, it will never be that way. And so the majority in mankind laugh at us Muslims, and they mock our Muslims. And do you know the value of this belief in life after death, and in the resurrection, and in the reckoning? How we hold it? With our very lives. Our whole life depends upon it. We do not reject it. We say, Haq, O Allah. O Allah, it is in your Quran. Our Rasul has spoken about it. We accept it. We do not reject it. We'll never reject it. And we are prepared to give up our lives for our belief in the life which is to come after death. Accountability. I repeat, if we want peace, solace, nur, and comfort in the qabr and expansion of the qabr, we have to do it here. The line of success and the measure of success is in the life of the dunya, not after death, here in the dunya. How we lead our lives, how we look after our lives, our ibadah and our faraiz and wajibat and sunnat and nawafil. This is the measure of our success in the hereafter. How best we obey Allah, how best we obey and follow Rasulullah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah, and how we believe in Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the recipients of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we find peace in our qabr, nur and light and expansion in our qabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection make us to be of those who will be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that on the day of reckoning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree, Allah will ordain that all of us go and enter the highest abode in Jannah, inshallah, Jannatul Firdaus. Wa akhiru da'wana, taqabbalallahu ya Allah, inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. I recite this darood, all of us recite this darood. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim.